Good day, everyone, and welcome to At the Still Point, where medicine meets the sacred. I'm here with Shaman Steve for episode 7, Nourishing Ourselves When We Don't Feel Like It. How to care for your body, mind, and spirit when resistance arises, and the wisdom within discomfort. I'm Dr. Ryan Christensen, and honored to be here. Happy Monday. Shaman Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am really in need of this episode. Again, we arrive right on time for me with sometimes when I need this nourishment the most is when I find it the hardest to give it to myself. And I think I'm running a little on overtired personally. My emotions are showing that for me this week. And I don't know, trying to learn to listen to my body and my heart and see what I need. And I thought it might be fun for us to talk about that today, because I'd really like to hear your wisdom.
We can break it down a little bit and go through what nourishment means to our mind, our body, and our soul, because we have to take that into account when we want to nourish ourselves. Because we can look at nourishment as just about the meal and the balance and the variety and choosing the foods that should make us feel good. But we also have to take into physical, emotional, and mental health into what we eat. But it's you got to realize that eating and nourishing, you know this better than me, it's two different things. When we're eating, we're not thinking about what our body really needs. We're just going, I'm hungry, or I should be hungry, or I haven't eaten in a while. We're not looking at the nourishment, the nutrients that are in there. Is this something that's good for me? What if I'm eating this, what's it going to do to me? Like when we just grab a candy bar because we're hungry, because sometimes
grab a Snickers, right? Like the commercial.
That's exactly what I mean.
Programmed with this of grab processed food and run away from your feelings and it'll be okay tomorrow. Go buy a thing. And it leaves me disconnected. It leaves me uncomfortable. It leaves me unhappy, angry, sad, because I'm not nourishing what my human body needs, which is the same thing the trees need. We've been talking about variations on this theme for a while, but I love how we're giving people really tangible tools of here's what you eat, here's what you drink, food, water, here's how you rest, here's a movement practice that might feel good, or a suggestion to take a walk. Like your point, Steve, is so well taken that this is a whole cosmic orbit of care for us, more than just what am I going to shove in my face to shove off the low blood sugar because I'm going on hour 16 of not eating today.
Yeah.
Well, and not from intermittent fasting because I want to, right? Like, ooh, those 16-8 people, like, good for you. That's hard stuff.
It is. Well, once you get past a few days, it actually does get easier. I've tried doing the fasting before, so I've gone that route. It doesn't necessarily nourish the body the way we need to, because you do need to discuss those dietary changes with someone when you're doing it, because it might, as much as you might think it might help you better mentally or physically, make yourself thinner, more pretty, whatever your goal is with your diet, it doesn't mean that's what is actually good for your body and good for your soul. Because
it changes, right? Like sometimes the best you can do may be insert your favorite fast food here, or you're too hungry to function. Absolutely. That, like, we want those to be the exceptions, though not the rule, because we're planning ahead for our self-care. And at least for me, the challenge that I'm running into is shifting out of the always spinning in the next plate instead of, oh, I need to go home and do laundry and I need to sort this stack of paperwork that I've been avoiding. And I want to cook and eat food because that's a comforting thing for me. But like right now, my hunger is more tiredness, I think, for me. Do you get those signals confused in your body when you're at the end of your rope?
They go every which way, but the way that's probably truly best for myself, because you are worried about, oh, I got to get this done. I got to get that done. Oh, I got to check this. I got to do that. You're not. And so then you just make something to fill your pie hole. You're just filling up on stuff. You're not thinking about, like I said, what does that do to you? What is that going to do to your energy level as you're sitting down after a 16-hour day and you're sitting at home? What is that food that you're eating that you're putting in your body? What's that do to your body the rest of the evening? Now, or is that-
And the funny point about this is I think the first thing you go to the vet, and most of the time they say, what are you feeding the animal?
Yep.
You go to the doctor and that's the last question they ask you. What are you eating? Because I also think like pop for a lot of people is self-care, right? But it's empty calories, it's processed foods, it's high fructose corn syrup, it's artificial sweeteners. These are things that like Andrew Huberman just talked about on his podcast, the plastics and the dyes. These are the endocrine disruptors and they're affecting our sleep and our weight and our mood. And I also like, I know these are all connected, and that neuroendocrine hormonal axis, it's a real deal. So when you're feeding your body, like you're going to be taking care of your vagus nerve, and you're going to be taking care of the gut brain connection. And I want to talk a little more too, as we get into this, about how trauma, stress, and overwhelm really disrupt our natural rhythms and they keep us from recognizing our needs. Because it's okay to feel resistance. It's okay to feel torn up about this stuff because there's wisdom here and our triggers are our teachers. And Steve, I really would love for you to dig into more of what is nourishment.
Nourishment is...
Like, what is it to you?
For me, it's what I provide for my body to function on a daily basis. And my views of that have changed over the years as my mental needs have changed over the years. When you're young and you're dumb and you're ready to conquer the world and you know everything, you know, living off McDonald's and candy bars is very easy, and living off no sleep and going out and
energy drinks
and going out and partying and living life to its fullest and going by on the minimal of everything, you know, everything, money, time, sleep, you know, what we should be taking care of with ourselves, we don't. So,
and we learn these patterns for generations. We've talked about some of this now, is like, you can only do what you know. And some of us never had this model because our parents and caretakers also were chronically overworked.
It's
folks.
It's the sign of the times in the generations, you know, that we've had from moving from the farm fields to the factories. And now we've put so much into our lives that we don't balance it properly. So we're not balancing it with food properly. We're not balancing it with our time properly. We're not balancing it with our rest properly. But it ties, the nourishment isn't just the food you eat. It's also some of the self-care things that you need to do to be able to function. Like I said, these are things that I need to function properly. So I do need to rest properly. I do need to partake in my meditation on a regular basis, because if I don't, I feel disconnected and I don't feel that I can operate on a higher level that I like to, because I'm happiest when I'm operating way up here. When I get hungry and I get stressed because now I got all this work to do, but now I can't get in a good meal and now I'm overworked and now my rest is going down and pretty soon everything's lower and lower. And then we're not minding our body. Our body is our temple and we're not taking care of the temple.
And that is sacrilege to not take care of our temples. We only get one. I had a patient. I trained in emergency medicine in Pontiac, Michigan at McLaren Oakland, the former Pontiac Osteopathic Hospital. Greatest docs I've ever known out of this place. Cared so deeply. And I had a guy come in and ask me if I could send him to the University of Michigan for a head transplant because he had so many headaches. Legitimately. Like, this dude wanted a referral for a head transplant. And I was like, bro, like, it won't be you. And he's, haven't they figured that out yet? I was like, you'd think. You really would. But no. He's, really? And I'm like, yeah. But just sometimes, what does taking your self-care look like? A lot of people don't know dehydration is the number one cause of headache.
Yeah.
And drinking water or breathing. So many of us are holding our breath all the time. Especially if you live in a burnt out or disempowered or a chronic stress state, which is what I want to talk about a little bit of, like, how do we get to this place where you're so disconnected that you can't even figure out what to do to nourish yourself? And we use a framework of the vagus nerve to talk about this. We want to talk about the vagus nerve. And why does this nourishment feel so hard? Trauma gets stuck in the tissues. There's a really cool guy, Bessel van der Kolk. He wrote a book called The Body Keeps the Score. And Bessel's a Harvard-trained psychiatrist who worked in the infirmaries of the 70s and actually helped bring psychiatric medicine. He was doing the studies there as residency and throughout on shell shock and trauma survivors. And they were using early antipsychotic drugs to help people get regulated enough to get out of the institutions. And he started doing work with veterans, and they weren't getting better with the medicines. So he started like talking to them and bringing in some of this body work stuff. And he wrote this beautiful book talking about the vagus nerve and how the safety in the body is determined by the power of this vagus nerve. Also the work of Stephen Porges and this polyvagal theory, and that the vagus nerve has three divisions that sorts us into kind of the two places we know with the fight or flight system, that sympathetic, which is the fight or flight, or the freeze response. But there's that fawn that goes in there as well, where you're so tired you can't even get up and fight, like a fainting goat. And that's really this deep disconnection, because the vagus's role as nerve is calming in the nervous system. And that's what we do with our hands in osteopathic treatment, is I'm working on the back of folks' head, on the cranium and on the sacrum, which is where these nerve centers are that build the rest and digest in, so that you can feel safe within your own body, safe within your own temple. And we ground it. Like, people ask me a lot, like, do I do spiritual work? And yes, I do personally, but the treatments that I give are grounded in that physiology and that anatomy and how tight the tissues feel, like tissue texture changes and asymmetry, range of motion changes and texture. And that is linking directly to how we sense the nervous system's response, especially in the brain. And it affects the blood flow and it affects the eyes. And so you see people's eyes get a little sunken and like they lose that kind of vigor. And you'll see that over time with stress and burnout or complex PTSD, which is that post-traumatic stress disorder that goes on a long time or is like a lot of times. Like, we get the privilege of caring for a lot of folks who've gone through that unrecoverable stuff, like multiple sexual assaults and multiple big traumas, losing children, war, like devastation, right? And the body doesn't know what your intellectual brain does. It's a scared little animal in the corner shaking like your dog is after a thunderstorm. And that part of your body needs to be validated on an emotional level, because the scared child doesn't care why. It's just scared and wants mom or dad to hold them. And so I want you to start thinking of your body of like, in the survival states that you're in, your digestion slows down. Your appetite changes either up or down. Disordered eating is really common. And if that's something you suffer with, please talk with your doctor, your dietitian. Steve mentioned earlier, like talking to people who can help with your nutritional needs, because we can make a healthy diet on any diet. I can help a vegan be perfectly healthy. I can help a person who is a carnivore keto be very healthy. Each person's needs are different, and we tailor that. Because when we get into this overwhelm and this cycle of disruption, that these small self-care actions become like monumental things. And that energy of disconnection and stagnation brings us out of our bodies and we dissociate. And then we get resistant to this care. But that resistance, what we're resisting is the beautiful thing that's in inviting us to. And usually for me, it's when I'm sleepy or overtired, I don't seem to rest. I just pile more things on.
Because that we're conditioned to just push through and keep it going and everything else. We're not addressing why we're losing that motivation. We're not addressing the actual issues. Instead, we're looking at, it must be from this. And if I can just get this done first, then I'll take care of myself. I just need to get through this problem, this class with this research paper, and then I'll be done. I need to get through this project at work, and then I'll start taking care of myself.
And that's how we stack in years of this chronic ununderstood stress, but we're doing it to ourselves.
Yeah.
Through not honoring that we in our human form need rest days.
You have to honor yourself and take care of yourself, because if you don't, you will burn out and you'll suffer from either mental fatigue, physical fatigue. All these things are going to put you in a place where you're going to go down one way or another, whether it's you take the rest or your body says, now you're sick. I'm forcing you to rest. And even still, we'll still, as humans, try to push through that. I work with a guy who was sick last week, and he was telling me today that his wife was upset because even though he called in sick, he still went into his home office, thought about something, sat there and worked for 2 or 3 hours, then signed off and went back and laid down. And it's, you're not honoring your body or yourself. You're not nourishing yourself properly to get better in a timely manner. And we constantly kind of trip over ourselves and step on our own feet with where we get our motivation from. We're motivated by the wrong things. We should be motivated by making our body our temple and nourishing it properly on all levels. But instead,
let's clarify a couple things in there I agree with. And I want to also clarify that it's not, we're all imperfectly learning how to nourish ourselves, right?
Yeah. And we all have different approaches to what that will be, because what I consider nourishment for myself might not work for someone that's, you know, a little bit more athletic and more into, you know, competing on a different level, or someone like you and I are going to have different nutritional needs.
Totally.
You know, than other people.
Well, and that was about the safety. That's what it all boils down to with all the vagus nerve, all the neuroscience, is if your body feels safe. If you feel safe with your friends, if you feel safe with your family, if you're safe with your community, then people don't do the behaviors that they resort to when they're in unsafety. And most animals, we notice, like when your dog gets upset, they shake. Have you seen that?
Yep.
They always shake off the energy. So that's one of my invitations for you, is when you're feeling hard, just shake it off and see where you are. And one of our practices we're going to get into before the end of the episode is about naming and validating these uncomfortable feelings. Because of, like, if it's a grief, or if it's the reactive past traumas, or if it's I'm ragey, which, or overtired, or just naming those things. Maybe you're sad. Maybe you're in grief. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're hopeful. Maybe you're expectant. Maybe you're frustrated, and maybe you're peaceful. Those are all beautiful places to be. And sometimes it's a big combination. So we want to give you the kind of domains that we go, oh, when you lose it, how do you really start to find it again?
That's the hard part. We have all these different things to go.
Oh, it's not hard for us though, because we're going to tell them.
We certainly are. We're going to try to give everyone the best foot forward to be able to nourish their bodies properly and through whatever means that we need to. When we talk about how we're going to get through some of this stuff, we're talking about losing motivation and trying to figure out how to get ourselves past that breakthrough point, and or even just over the hump, get to the top of the hill, because we don't always need to go over the top. But if we can get to the top and just realize it, maybe we'll make slightly better choices, because sometimes we just need to embrace the small steps as we take care of ourselves and nourish ourselves, because even the small steps matter. So, you know, when we're finding that we're losing ourselves a little bit, we need to look at the stresses and anxieties and the different things in our life. And like you said, we got to name them. As soon as you name it, then you can go, oh, I'll worry about that later. Those are the things that then we can put on the back burner and push through to move forward, because maybe that doesn't need to be dealt with right now. Deal with yourself right now. Deal with what you feel is necessary, and then you can move forward from it. And some of the times we need that disconnection from the problem to be able to move forward.
And that's the boundary of setting for yourself, of like, when you're tired, you need to sleep. When you need to take a day off, like your coworker friend, that, like, what a beautiful story. And I have infinite stories of when I had to betray my own needs because of the job or because of the task at hand. But sometimes, am I creating that myself? Sometimes I think I could give myself a break and probably attack it with a fresh brain tomorrow in a different way, but my anxiety takes over. We've talked about that in our anxiety episodes.
Yeah. And that's just the thing, is we're going to get to a point where you're better off stepping away. And don't quote me on what the actual studies are, but they say that after 10 to 12 hours, our brain starts to shut down different portions. So the more you try to push through and fight through those hard points, those hard stopping points that your body's trying to tell you, no, I'm done. Mm-hmm. And we're like, no, I just need to get a little bit further. You're actually making it more difficult for yourself because now your recovery is going to be harder. So
we're more disconnecting ourselves from ourselves by continuing to invalidate the very human need that if you weren't grieving, Steve, we would be worried about you. Like, it's normal to feel these feelings as we go through the hard things that fit. And it's okay to be angry when boundaries are crossed. And it's okay to be sad when we lose people and animals and beings we love. And it's all jumbled up in there. And sometimes we're never allowed or never allow ourselves to just sort it out and be like, okay, I'm going to take care of this little part with this.
Yeah, it's very easy to do. I can say from personal experience through grieving with the loss of my dog Rocco, it was difficult to process on certain days. So, you know, that's when you...
And I'm sure it still continues to be difficult.
It does. It hasn't changed because everything, there's just so many things tied up in with my life and he was part of it. So it's very hard. As we sit here and talk, I realized something that I was going through some of this without even knowing it because I was pushing through but I wasn't nourishing my body because I was, I'm so upset by what happened. I don't feel like cooking. So I'm just going to go grab that. I don't care. I just want comfort food, something that makes me feel good right now because I don't want to cook because I am not in the mood to cook. I lost my motivation because of the grieving process.
Yes.
And then that put me in this, I don't want to cook. What do I want to eat? I don't know. But then I got something that's, I feel better as I'm eating. But then as soon as I'm done with the meal, then I sit there and reflect and I'm like, that's sitting really heavy now. Mm-hmm. That probably wasn't the best choice. I should have ate something a little bit lighter, something that maybe wouldn't have maybe upset my body the way that some of the food that I was eating during my grieving process that I was, because
totally
we all find ourselves in these places where sometimes we'll eat our anger, we'll eat our emotions, or we'll ignore the rest because we're angry, or we'll ignore the physical activity because we're too upset. So we're going to ignore our exercise.
And some people go the other way, they don't eat, right? No, you're naming all of those things. And that's where we want compassion. And I think consistency with the baby steps, maybe these little energy snacks that we can, whether they're physical snack or an energy snack, like what, or a sleep snack or a rest snack, like what little baby practices, not too much more than you can bite off, but get us in there. And I love that you're naming this because that we talked about this in our duality episode too, like always back and forth on the good and the bad and the light and the dark. And am I doing this right? And you're perfectly on time. We're all perfectly human. We're all perfectly perfect and perfectly screwed up in a beautiful way. And we're learning this. And if we don't listen to those triggers and say, oh, I can be compassionate with Ryan and be like, oh, I'm learning this. Boy, does it make a huge difference. I think.
It really can. It can shift your energy. It can shift your perspective, which can then shift you to nourish yourself in the proper way.
And first steps, if you haven't eaten yet today, have a snack. Sip on some tea, warm broth or water. And even drinking warm beverages can be a little more nourishing for your nervous system. And some cold therapies too. If you're craving cold or ice, crunching on that, that might feel good for you now. That's great ways of getting hydration. Eating fruit too and drinking water. Some people don't do well with water. Okay, put one of the little flavor packets in it if that would help you. Like part of this is like how we're not trying to vilify anything. Like we'd like you to avoid processed food. We'd like you to eat real things. But we're all human here. And I go to a doctor and they prescribe me an eating disorder. And then they tell me I'm too fat. And I say, look, you noticed. I'm proud of you. And really, like, I grew up with a hormonal dysfunction that has 20% of my testosterone since a child because of an undescended testicle. People don't know that a lot about me, but they like to judge me based on body size. And I eat pretty healthy, but my body just doesn't work the same way as other people's. And I'm learning to have peace with that. And learning how to eat differently, because when I eat a little processed food, it goes a long way for me. but also binge eating and eating disorders. Like, these are real things for people. And I think we need to have compassion because there's so much shame built in the society for talking about nourishing yourself differently or watching what other people are eating or comparing the orders and portion sizes and distortion and calories. There's a lot of information, and we're going to cover that, some of that more in future episodes. But the biggest thing we want to emphasize is that with food, food is one of our favorite ways of controlling too.
Yeah.
So sometimes when we're restricting or binging, it's a very clear trigger indicator that you could nourish yourself in a different way. And I brought this up before, but hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, halt, are what they teach us in 12-step recovery about warning signs that could threaten our sobriety. Because these are the things that build some resentments. And if you're tired, like for me, when I get tired, my overwhelmed nervous system and vagus nerve just are amplified. Like, I need more magnesium. And they've studied non-sleep deep rest, like laying down like the Marines do in a dark room and closing your eyes for 5 minutes, really works. Some people like can fall into sleep for a quick 10, 20 minute nap and get some of that deep sleep, and they can catch up on their sleep debt. So do not disrupt or underestimate the power of a well-placed nap in the middle of your day if you work at a job that allows that, and finding jobs that allow those kind of things, or a micro nap, just even closing your eyes and breathing for 2 minutes and reminding your body it's okay to just turn off for a minute. I make it like the analogy of rebooting your computer.
Well,
like you push the button and turn off for just 2 minutes, just to let all the hard drives just go, yeah, and then let you come back up. And that can be a really nice centering practice. Like, I was a little tired today before this episode, and that's one of the practices I did before I came over to join you, was like, I just need to lay down for a couple minutes and just breathe.
Yeah, there's times at work I'll just take a couple minutes, turn on a meditation track on YouTube, put in the headphones, and just relax and decompress just for a couple minutes, because what's it going to hurt except for my own hurting myself if I don't do something to properly get myself aligned.
And I think we're getting towards our time, unfortunately. Steve, it goes so fast with you.
It always does.
Let's talk about welcoming this discomfort. I want to guide a quick little practice in our last couple of minutes to leave our listeners with as we go to listen to our needs. And let's breathe in. And just knowing that any feeling you're feeling now and any type of connection can be nourishment. And even our small kind interactions can start to soften this heart. So just notice any spaces in your body as you breathe and sit in stillness. Sit or lie comfortably. And again, save this if you're driving for another time. And place one hand on your heart and another on your belly. Step two is to breathe softly. No forcing, just notice slow, gentle breaths in and out. That's right. And welcome the discomfort. Notice what you're feeling right now and see if you can name it. Perhaps you're tired, hungry, sad, or numb. Whatever it is, let it be here. Say to that emotion, you are welcome here and I see you. And maybe there's more than one or two. That's okay. Greet whatever comes. That's right. Now, number four, ask what you need and ask that feeling. What would feel nourishing right now? Ask your heart under your hand. Does it need a sip of water, some rest, nutrient nourishment with food, maybe some soup or broth or tea? Perhaps light or stillness. Maybe movement would feel good. And lastly, validate. It is okay to feel this feeling. I will care for you. And especially if they're the uncomfortable ones, just notice how that feels right now to sit with that. And breathe in deeper and out. And just ask again, what do you feel right now? And see if you can name it again. Perhaps tired, hungry, sad or numb. Whatever it is, we'll let it be right there. And let that feeling know you're welcome here, that you see him or her or them. And it's okay to feel this way. Validate that feeling. Now take a couple nice breaths in. And thank yourself for a moment of deep practice. And what do you notice? How did that feel, Steve?
A little calmer, a little more clarity.
Yeah, it reminded me how tired I am.
Yeah.
I think is what I'm feeling today on our...
Yeah. Remember, discomfort is not the enemy. It's just a message asking us to listen.
And we're so worthy of care even when it feels hard, so... Join us next time at The Still Point, and may you find nourishment in these small moments and know that you're held exactly where you are. We'll see you next time at The Still Point.